Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Chapter 6, and I read from verse 41 to 54. So I'm going to read a few more verses before the start of the sermon. Verse 55, the Lord says, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But they are some of you who do not believe." And Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's my... Oh, well, thank you, Dave. That is the point I wanted to make today. To whom? It's a question. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, let's bear these words in mind. Just pray that the Lord will bless this sermon to our ears so that we can understand a little bit more of why we're here and why he calls us. Let me start by saying this to you. There were always multitudes of people that were near Jesus, wasn't there? You probably noticed it when you were reading the gospel account of his life. He did extraordinary things, didn't he? He did supernatural things regularly. He fed 5,000 people on one occasion with just a few loaves and a couple of fishes. I mean, Mayette does pretty well in feeding 20 people for a few pounds. But Jesus could feed 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another occasion. He could walk on the water. He could calm the storm. He did supernatural things. They were miracles. But people followed him in their droves. They wanted to get a glimpse. They wanted to see something spectacular. They wanted to be fed with a little bit of extra, like a fish kebab or something like that. You know, but amazingly, He's telling them the facts about who he is. He's the bread that comes down from heaven, like the manna in the early days. those people that followed Moses. He did amazing things. Multitudes followed him. But here we have this account in John's Gospel where a multitude of people turned their backs on him. They turned away. They didn't like the teaching. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. He said, "Does this offend you to eat my flesh and drink my blood?" He wasn't talking about cannibalism. You know what cannibalism is, don't you? I was in Africa on one occasion, about 20 years ago, 2003. I went to Africa, Uganda, and one day I went missing. On my own I was, on this island. It's a big island, not a desert island with one palm tree, you know. It's quite a big big island. And I remember, I could hear my name. "John, Brother John, John, where are you?" I heard my name being called. And there were two men. They were African men. And I sort of came out from the trees or wherever I was. I said, "What's the matter?" And they were very sheepish. And they came up, they said, "Where have you been?" I said, "I've been up here." I said, "Why are you worried about me?" They said, "There are cannibals around, you know." This was 20 years ago. And I said, "Well, it will be bad for them when they meet me." They said, "Why is that?" I said, "I might eat them myself." Sorry, just a joke, just a joke, all right? Anyway, people got the wrong idea about Jesus. They misunderstood what he was saying. They didn't like the fact. They thought they were eating Jesus, his flesh and his blood, you know, as a human being. But he was saying that if we take part in his body as a sacrifice, as an offering, you know, we would have eternal life if we took part in communion, which we like to do. Anyway, they turned away. They turned away. They rejected him while he was here on this earth. It's very hurtful, isn't it, when people turn their back on you? People don't like what you've got to say. And they say, "Well, I've had enough of her. And what she's got to say, I'd rather go and do something else." Poor Lord Jesus, it says in the scriptures, he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Because what he had to say about the Father, about himself, people rejected him. Very sad. They turned away then, and they will turn away today. And it is sad. They don't want to hear the story of the gospel about the Son of God coming into this world. They don't want to hear about the cross where we sang about clinging to the old rugged cross upon which our Saviour died. They don't want to hear that story. They don't want to hear about his suffering, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. They don't want to hear about his death. Isn't it sad? But they love to go to the cinema and watch Avatar or Clint Eastwood or Arnold Schwarzenegger. They love to do all those sort of things. But can that save you? Can those things give you eternal life? I don't think so. Anyway, interestingly, Jesus loves to question people. He loves to examine people. And on this occasion, he says to the disciples, in verse 68, when everybody has left, he says, 67, then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Do you also want to go away?" He asked them a question. Do you want to follow them? Do you want to reject me? That's what he's saying in effect. Will you also go away? What about you today? After you've heard this sermon, Peter responds with a question also. Lord, To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's a good way to respond to the Lord Jesus. So here we are. Let me just go to my first heading. We all need someone to whom we can go, don't we?
Amen.
We all need someone. I need you, Dave. You need me. Oh, how happy we can be. God has not made man to be on his own and to be a loner and to live in isolation. God didn't do that. When you go back to the creation story, don't we read where it says it's not good for man to be alone? Isn't it, Jackie? And the Lord created a helper for him. And that was Eve. God did that. So men, human beings, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're lonely. And God has provided a wife. You know, he says it's not good for man to be alone, but you can have a wife who can share in your sorrows or in your griefs. And to the woman, we have husbands galore, we like to think. And that husband can share in your sorrows. Do I share in your sorrows, Mayette? And your griefs? When you're stressed out, you can talk to me. It's me that's stressing you. Did you hear that? You may be single. You may not be married. But you've got a best friend. Someone who you can unwind with. Someone who you can just de-burden yourself with. And that is, God has provided that. And it's the same. Even when you're glad and happy, you can share with someone, oh, I'm happy, and, you know, thank the Lord, and God will allow you someone to share that happiness with. It was God's plan from the beginning. It's a priceless thing. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, children, friends. It was God's plan from the beginning how we could become a community and how we could fellowship together. That's why he created the church, so that we could be a little body, a little group together. And I'm sure that when you sit back and think about mom, dad, granddad, the funeral I went to the other day, my Uncle Gordon, he lives in France, Brittany, is in France, yes, so he lives there. He was carrying photographs around in his pocket, and he pulled this photograph out, and it was about the size of my phone, and he said, do you know which one of those people is your dad? I mean, very sweet thing to do, my Uncle Gordon. And he showed me this picture. And my dad is in this picture, and he's about 13 years of age. And I was so happy to see this photograph. There's my granddad, my grandma, all my dad's brothers, and all the siblings are there. And I'm looking at this picture, and I love looking at this picture. It's really nice. Anyway, there's two photographs, but God has given us family. And we can reflect on them. We can remember them and remember some wonderful times. I know we have some bad times. We have some fights or whatever. But, you know, it just so happens God allows us to have reconciliation. My brother Shane, I fell out with him 3 years ago over silly issues. Well, I say silly, but the thing is, the last week there has been healing. We're both reconciled. And my heart leaps for joy. God allowed this to happen. So that we might be sad one day over an issue, but we're happy the next day. What a wonderful thing. Only God can do this. Only God can create this environment, this community in which we have. Uncle Dennis was 90 years of age, nearly 91. He passed away. And his dear wife, Conchie, she's nearly about 90, and the family, they're sad. And the grandchildren, well, we all come together at the funeral, like Karen's family, and we support each other. And that's God's way. Isn't it good? Wonderful. The value of human friendship. We need each other. Is that right? Thank you very much. That's my first point. My second point is this. We all need someone to whom we can go to with a word from eternity. Not just our earthly lives here on this earth and our family community, but we need to go to someone with a word from eternity. Who would that be? Well, when Jesus was rejected, and he said to the disciples, will you go also? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What a thing to say. You have the words. No one else has. We haven't heard anybody else talk about eternity and eternal life. Friends, family, they're important, aren't they? But we come to a point in life, we come to times in life when we go beyond the power of earthly friends. We come to a point where my mate or my brother hasn't got the words I really need to sustain the longing inside my heart. But there is somebody who's got those words. The wound that I'm struck by, the circumstances that I'm living under, they're too deep, they're too painful. I need a word. I need comfort from eternity. Who's got those words? At death, and I've seen death in the last few weeks with our dear Karen Kirkham, who used to sit over there, I've seen a man that committed suicide at the age of 61, threw his life away. For what reason? At death, we realise that life is short, isn't it? Even at its longest, 90 years of age, is that long? In terms of eternity, it's a little... Well, you can't measure eternity, can you? Anybody got a calculator to measure eternity? You can't do it. 90 years of age is just a smidgen of a moment. And the writer of Psalm 90, verse 10... said that we have 80 years in 10. If by reason of strength we get 80 years or 90, it's still short, isn't it? Sometimes some people have more, sometimes they have less. We are so tired of time. Look at the clock, it's tick tock, tick tock. Time is passing us by. Time comes from the future. You know that, don't you? I've said it before. We're coming from the past into the present, and we're heading into the future. And time is ticking away. Coming from the future into the present, headed into the past. We're tied to time. We have moments. Even now, we've got a moment. We have weeks, we have months, we have years. But what about eternity? What can you tell me about eternity, people? Does anybody know? Does the doctor know anything about eternity? Can he give you some pills and say, here, take some of those, you'll have eternal life with that? Everybody, they'd be sold out every week, wouldn't they? Some people I've heard, rich people, lot of money, they want their body frozen when they pop their clogs. Have you heard this? They get the body frozen, put in a vault somewhere, and they're hoping that science will work a way out to overcome death. Yes? And they say, well, when you've worked it all out, get me out of the freezer and give me some happy pills and I'll wake up. And they might have eternal life here on earth. Have you heard that? Silly billies. What I will say, Jesus knows about eternity, doesn't he? Jesus knows. Because the Bible tells us that he is the eternal one. He said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. They couldn't work that out. They said it in the passage. You're Joseph's son. You're Mary's son. We saw you growing up. They were scratching their heads. They couldn't work it out. He knew. He knew. When he talked to the professors and the doctors of the law as a 12-year-old at the temple, yeah? And the mother and the father went looking for him, found him after 3 days, and didn't he say, I must be about my father's business. He knew he was the eternal one, even as a 12-year-old. He is who he says he is. He spoke of eternity. He spoke of everlasting life. He spoke of eternal life. The people that heard him couldn't believe it. Do you know somebody at work or at the office or at the coffee shop or at the old people's home that talks about eternal life? I bet you never heard anybody talk about this before. But Jesus does. And that's why Peter said, you've got the words of eternal life. To whom will you go? I'm staying here. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to check you out. I've not finished with you yet, Lord Jesus. I like what you say. I'm hanging on to every word. Last night I saw Marjorie. We had a little conversation and she said, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. That's what I heard you say. Well, so am I, Marjorie. I'm following you because we're hanging on to these words of Jesus Christ. Hey? No one else has been able to talk about these wonderful things. I've been with Dominic over the last couple of Saturdays down in the town. I've been handing out this leaflet. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. He said, I'm the only way to the Father. You can't get to him unless you come through me. I've been telling people this. What do you think of this statement? I am the way, the truth and the life. I said, you ever heard someone say that before? They said, no. Interesting words, aren't they? No. I've said to people, you've got to be very confident about who you are, what you are and what you want to say those sort of words, haven't you? You've got to be bold. I wouldn't say them. But I'd say Jesus said them and I believe in them. I would say that. But I like it. Don't you? Don't you like it when you know someone who knows what they're talking about? You know, we're all tired of politicians at the moment, aren't we? Because, you know, like Liz Truss said, when she gave her speech, when they said she's the new Tory leader to become the Prime Minister, she gave a speech to the Tory party. Do you know what she said? She said, we will deliver. No, she said, I will deliver. And deliver and deliver. She said it 3 times. Did she deliver? Everybody's burdened. Everybody's stressed out. People's mortgages have gone up. This man had a £300,000 interest-only mortgage. Yes? Before she gave her speech and became the Tory Prime Minister, do you know what his interest was on his £300,000? It was £250 a week. Or was that a month? I can't remember. I think it was a month. It was a month. It went up from £250 a month to £1,100 a month because of those interest rates. Poor bloke, he got a variable rate mortgage, interest only. That's painful. She delivered him into debt. Jesus doesn't want to deliver you into debt. He wants to give you eternal life. That's wonderful, isn't it? He says, didn't he say, you who are heavy laden and burdened, I'll give you rest for your souls. I've gone off my point a little bit, but I'm coming back on track. Here we go. We may come to Jesus, and we may find him a friend. That's what the scriptures say. A friend who has all the answers for time and eternity. That's what we can do with Jesus, and we can do it today. We can do it next week. Well, I would say do it today. But what a wonderful thing. The scripture says, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the next verse. After verse 69. Peter said, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Then it says, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And you've got to stop and think about this. First of all, if you was a scientist or if you was studying theology, if you were really into working out if this bloke is telling the truth, first of all, you say, well, who is this Peter? Who is he? Well, he's one of the 12. He's a fisherman. And he was a student of the word even before the Lord Jesus came along. Because if you study these gospel accounts, Andrew went up to Peter and said, we found the one. We found him. The one that Moses talked about. Well, that's the Messiah, isn't it? They said, we found him. And Peter went, if you heard words like that, you say, well, I'm going to go and have a look. And when Peter looked, he heard the truth. And he hung on to those words. So Peter was an eyewitness. And we as people, we as Christians, or even if you think you're an atheist today, when you hear these sort of things, you're going to say, well, I'm interested to know whether I can put my trust in this guy called Peter. Yes? Wouldn't you? You was a police officer? You was investigating a crime? Yes? You were trying to solve a puzzle, a crime or whatever? You want to see who the witnesses are, don't you? You want to say, what did he do? What did he say to you? Did he have a gun on him or something? Wouldn't you do those sort of things? You come to a solution. You come to a conclusion. And Peter came to a conclusion and he said, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. To whom should we go? I ain't got no one else. I'm not going to Mickey Mouse. I'm not going to go to Donald Duck either. I'm going to hang on to every word you've got to say. That's what he was saying. This came to me as I was thinking about this. Notice this. When Peter said, you are the Christ, that verse 69, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice this. Jesus didn't say, now steady on there. Hold on a minute. Don't puff me up. Don't call me the Son of God. Don't call me the... Jesus didn't say that, did he? I never noticed this before. He let them say what they needed to say because it was true, wasn't it? We want to hang on to these words, don't we? We can get assurance from this. We can hang on to these words of Peter. We have assurance to know that our faith in Jesus is real. It's true. It's reality. I like it. You know, Jesus calls people, doesn't he? Jesus called Peter, James and John and the rest of them. Perhaps he'd like to call you today. Perhaps he's knocking on the door of your heart. Will you come to him? Well, I've looked up in the scriptures and I've seen there are three places, and there are more, but there's three examples I'm going to give you today. One of them is John 6:37. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's comforting, isn't it? We can trust him. We can believe in him. We can, like Peter said, you have the words of eternal life, and you're telling me that you're not going to cast me out if I trust you? I need to know that. Yes? He also said, come unto me, and I've quoted this already, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your souls. Do you want rest? Do you want peace? Do you want comfort and love? Jesus is willing to give it to us. I like it. I want to trust somebody who is not telling me lies. I want to trust somebody who's not deceiving me. You know, when I was, I'll say this to you, when I was young, we had a party once in a house in Garston. It was a good, it was a birthday party. It was a bit wild. That's what young people do, wild parties. Very wild it was. And while everybody was having a good time, one of the people in the house, there was a lot of people, one person went upstairs on their own. Started going through all the drawers in the house, you know. Found £120 in somebody's drawer. Whoa, that's nice. Everybody's getting carried away downstairs, having a few drinks, whatever else was going on. Well, while we was all doing that, this person was robbing the place, right? Stole the £120, said nothing. Nobody knew who it was, right? And then the party carried on, and then the weekend passed, and the girl, Sarah her name was, she came home, she'd been away for the weekend, and she said, oh, she wrote a note, left it on the table, well, hello guys, I hope you all had a lovely weekend at home, having a party, somebody went in my room, stole £120, isn't that sad? And I heard the news, and I was grief-struck, I was so upset. I went to work, I said to myself, what sort of friends have I got? When we have a party, they go rob your best, one of your best friends. What sort of people am I hanging around with? And that upset me. And I don't want friends like that. Do you? I want people around me that I can trust. That I can put my faith in, that I can believe in. Don't you want that? I need it. I don't want to come to church and then hear that someone's had their phone stolen from their bag. We don't want that. Do you want that? You say, what sort of church is that? Sometimes you've got to look over your shoulder because a few scallywags do come in from time to time. I'm joking. I am joking. But Jesus, it's not like that. You can trust him. The scripture says the spirit and the bride say, come. The Bible is full of invitations to come because he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you eternity, eternal life, an eternal hope, an eternal joy of happiness with him. That's what it means to come to Jesus, that we can live forever. Do you want that? Accept his invitation. That's what I say. Put your trust in him. Put your hope in him. And we will not only see each other on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. We will see each other for eternity. In heaven, in glory, enjoying fellowship one with another. Isn't that wonderful? I think so. But what does it mean to reject these things? To reject Jesus? I tell you what, you'll be very disappointed, very upset. Come to Jesus. Come while there's time. Give him your life. Give him your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. He is all you need. He has the words of eternal life. He will prepare you for time and eternity while you're here on this earth. Lord, we come to you today. We thank you for the hope and the assurance that you give those that follow you. We're so excited, Lord, because we have a bright future and we're looking forward to being with you and our dear loved ones that have gone to be with you in the past. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to grasp hold of everything that you said, everything that you did. We don't want to be like those that turned their back on you and went the other way because they found it to be a hard teaching. We want to be those that are hanging on to every word that you've got to say. You have the words of eternal life, and our hope and trust is in you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.